Welcome to the Great Tribulation, folks. If the events in Charlottesville, Virginia aren't proof enough, we in Christian Identity have been predicting this race war, and it's happening before our eyes, okay? But, of course, the agenda of the Jews and the mass media and the libtards is that multiculturalism must proceed. It's the solution to all the world's problems, according to them. We know better. We know that race mixing is forbidden, and we stand fast with the demonstrators, the pro-white demonstrators in Charlottesville, who were protesting against yet another removal. I think in this case it was the statue of General Lee, and it's the multiculturalists who have taken it upon themselves to destroy our heritage, Pastor Steve. This is crazy.
Okay. I do not stand fast with those people.
Oh, you mean the...
With the demonstrators.
Okay.
I don't stand fast with them. Their methods were wrong. They went about it the wrong way.
Okay.
My wake-up call this coming Thursday will go into detail on that. And my basis for not standing with them is... the profanity that was flung from both sides.
Oh, okay.
The childishness and the fact that they did not give glory to Yahweh.
Okay.
The creator. The title of my wake-up call this show is White Skin Is Not Enough. They did not put on any of the armor of God.
Oh, okay.
They took it upon themselves with presumptuousness in their actions. And I go into detail on that on Wake Up Call.
Okay.
I look at it from the Christian Identity standpoint.
Okay. I was just looking at the...
There was no excuse for the behavior of our white people there. They went out about they made themselves look like fools. They were suckered into a trap by the mainstream media, and they did not glorify Yahweh our Father. And that's where they went wrong. And if you do something without the protection of Yahweh, it's going to continue to be a disaster. They have not learned from past mistakes.
Okay. Well, yeah, obviously.
So I'm sorry if I anger the white nationalists, but unless you come under the banner of Yahweh, you will not receive his protection, and you're going to fail.
Right. Oh, for sure.
And that's all I'm going to say about that rally. You want to hear the rest of it, you listen to my wake-up call at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Eurofolk Radio.
Okay, very good. So, I was just responding to the visual images where this guy drove his car. It appeared that he floored it and ran into the demonstrators. But the reports I'm hearing is he just got spooked. He got scared because I guess he was being surrounded
Well, I watched. He sure backed out of there in a hurry.
Yeah,
he
sure
hit
did.
Floor.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
Verse.
That was a good piece of driving. Backed straight out. I'd be swerving left and right. He did that really well. But yeah, that whole incident, the point is white people cannot demonstrate whether with good intentions or not, because they're going to be countered by libtards. And the race war has begun, folks. We've been telling you about it here at Eurofolk Radio. Nobody else is willing to admit this is happening.
There's comments in the chat room already. Okay. Listen to the wake-up call, and you'll get the full perspective of it.
Okay. All right. Very good. So
don't prejudge. You listen to what I have to say in my sermon on Thursday before you make judgments.
Absolutely. So, but this is what we've been anticipating, this great race war, and George Washington predicted it in his third vision. Valley Forge said there would be a fight to the death, fighting in the streets in all of the towns and cities of America. And
this is an attempt to sucker us into behaving badly and entering into full open martial law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. We have to be careful not to play into their hands.
That was the most disorganized mess I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, I'm glad I didn't attend. I was actually thinking about attending it there.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't either.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't have any CI pastors. No speeches were given.
Mm-hmm.
There was not one T-shirt or anything that says glory to Yahweh. And without giving glory to the Father, you're not going to make it.
Yeah, right.
Listen to the wake-up call. You'll get the full Bible perspective of it. Don't get a knee-jerk reaction, oh, I'm proud of my white brothers. No, I'm not.
Right?
I'm not. Well, those were goats, not sheep. They weren't sheep of the pasture.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are the ones that are Yahweh deniers and revilers and worshipers of Keck. Yeah, I don't stand with that. Uh-huh. No, sir.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't aware of that. Okay, very interesting. Well,
I watched the full streaming audio by Big KK. That was the only one that wasn't hacked. I watched the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Live.
Right.
And I took notes.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So well, listen to my wake-up call sermon on Thursday.
The brawling started early. And I don't think the rally even came off. All the brawling.
No, that police shut it down.
Hmm. Okay. So, in any case, white people are not allowed to present their point of view peacefully. That much
That's
we can gather.
Said. White skin isn't enough. Being right isn't enough. Uh-huh. Listen to the wake-up call.
All
I
right.
give you the whole thing.
Okay. All right, folks.
Tell
and
you
be...
listen to it. Don't judge.
And there's going to be more news to come because this just happened yesterday, and we'll get more facts.
A mainstream media will make those people look like total fools.
Oh, they sure will. They sure will.
They played right into their hands.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Okay, so today's episode of Bloodlines, and this is August 13th, 2017. It's going to be part two of the ABCs of the Hebrew feast days. And last week we left off discussing the fact that Paul indeed observed all of the feast days, including the Feast of Tabernacles, and so did all of the rest of the apostles and disciples. So it's absurd for modern Judeo-Christians to assert that all these feast days have been done away with, when the early church fathers, the apostles, Paul, and the disciples all practiced them. Okay? It's like, what Bible are they reading that they don't? Okay? I'm going to be here, Acts 28:17. Men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. And then he said, I attended the feast. Right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And but that was after the ascension.
Yes, well after. Many years after. Okay. So these assertions by the, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing, Acts 18:21.
What did Yeshua teach us? Keep the feast.
Keep the feast.
If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, what commandments did he give? He gave commandments as Yahweh to keep these feasts.
This absolute nonsense that Paul reinvented Christianity.
That's what they want people to believe.
That's right.
And they're doing the same thing. They're twisting the words. They don't research. They do this knee-jerk reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And people are, because they don't want to rock their boat.
Right. Their denomination.
They don't want to leave their little herd mentality. They're going to bash Paul.
Yeah. That's
right. Because Paul tells them that they need to obey the commandments of Yahweh, and they don't want to do that.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. They want to keep their own traditions, which just like the
traditions
Pharisees.
Traditions of men. There's no difference.
That's right.
This is Judeo-Christianity, which means Talmud Christianity, means playing into the hands of the puppet masters,
the Jews,
that have infiltrated these seminary schools and have indoctrinated these people, and they believe, just like they believe everything on the devil vision, they'll believe the guy because he's up on the pulpit.
Yes.
In that business that they call a church, and they'll believe him because they're dupes.
Amen.
They don't want to research for themselves. That's too much like work.
Yeah, right. Reading and peripheral reading and research are two different things, and obviously Judeo-Christianity is a peripheral religion. They don't really investigate.
Don't get deep into it because they don't want to think.
That's right, and they don't want to obey the law.
They've been brainwashed into not thinking.
Yes, yes.
Oh, amen, hallelujah, to sit up in the front in the pews.
Yeah.
For the dog and pony show that's going on the day of the sun god. They don't read the scriptures and really study. They have prescribed scripture study courses that avoid all the main issues. They don't want to rock the boat.
That's right. That's right.
And safe in our little herd. We're in our social club.
They don't want to offend the Jews or Black Lives Matter.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Same deal, different day. It's fake.
It's fake, right?
Fake church now.
And it's so we got fake mainstream media news. We got fake mainstream Christianity. What isn't fake these days, right? Christian identity is the only movement that is attempting to be real. Everything else is fake. It's phony. We're living in a world of absolute phoniness. It's unbelievable. Everywhere you turn around, there's lies and deceit. You just can't get away from it. You just can't get away from it. But I posted the link to this article, www.cogwriter.com/fallholy.htm. The second heading, did the second or third century church keep the fall holy days? I'm just going to skip down to where he says there are at least five reasons that it can be concluded that the second century church kept them. One, the original apostles did, okay, as we just mentioned. Two, they are mentioned in the Bible, both Old and New Testaments, okay? All you New Testament Christians out there, they are mentioned and kept in the New Testament. Polycarp and Polycrates said they followed the practices of the apostles in regards to the holy days. Okay, and so essentially did Pionius. Four, there were early Christian meanings for them. Five, if they were not being kept, then certain leaders in the Roman Catholic Church would not have later felt the necessity to drive the observances out. Okay?
That's correct.
All right.
They want their ritual instead of what's scriptural.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Romish church is part of the Antichrist.
That's right. It is, definitely. Okay, so this is, you can go ahead and, again, this www.cogwriter.com, excellent article, and we'll just proceed now to the scriptures. First of all, in the Old Testament, we see that basically the three first feast days, Passover, the Passover Sabbath, which is actually the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the wave sheaf, occur on three consecutive days by law, by Mosaic law.
That's correct.
All right. It says so. Give me a second here. I lost the place where...
Okay, Exodus 12:2. I've got it.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, verse 2, or I'll just start with verse 1. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe and to Aharon in the land of Mitzrayim, that's Egypt, saying, this month is the beginning of months for you. It is the first month of the year for you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, each one of them is to take for himself a lamb according to the house of his fathers, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the beings people according to each man's need. You make your count for the lamb. Let the lamb be a perfect one, a year-old male. Take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. That is the month of Abib, the month of greening of the barley ears. Mm-hmm. That's the first month in the Hebrew year.
Right.
Then all the assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it between the evenings. Okay? During that day.
Yes, during that day.
Sundown okay. to sundown. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost and on the lintels of the houses where they eat it. And they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and inward parts. They didn't even gut it.
Not right.
Because it was in haste.
In haste, exactly.
And do not leave of it until the morning, and what remains of it until morning you are to burn with fire. And this is how you eat it: your loins girded, and your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Passover of Yahweh. And let's skip to verse 14. And right. this day shall become to you a remembrance. And you shall observe it as a festival to Yahweh throughout your generations. Observe it as a festival, an everlasting law.
An ordinance forever.
7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Indeed, on the first day you cause leaven to cease from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that being shall be cut off from Israel. Now you got the Passover and then 7 days. So it's an 8-day event.
Right, right.
And that's how we keep it today.
Yes. Okay, so Passover, Leviticus 23:5, in the first month on the 14th day of the month in the evening is Yahweh's Passover. Feast of Unleavened Bread, from Leviticus 23:6. Would you turn your scriptures to Leviticus 23? Maybe pick it up.
I'm already there.
Okay. Where it says, on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So we have the 14th day, we have the 15th day. Please pick it up.
All right. And the festival of unleavened bread to Yahweh, 7 days you eat unleavened bread. On the first day you have a set apart gathering. You do no several work. That's a Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
That is a high Sabbath. Okay.
Now by high Sabbath, because people may not understand, we have regular weekly Sabbaths every
That's
seventh
correct.
Day. So first, 8th, 15th, 22nd, etc. And throughout the duration of the feast day calendar, every seventh
right.
day is a regular Sabbath. A high Sabbath is what? For people who
That's
don't know.
That's a what? Special set apart Sabbath. That's
okay.
Moed Kadosh.
Okay. In this case, it's the beginning of
no
a feast.
Servile work.
Right. It's the beginning of a feast, so it's even more, it's a special Sabbath, more holier.
Right.
Okay.
All right, you've got the Passover.
Yes.
Then you've got the first day of unleavened bread. That's a Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Then, when you come into the land which I shall give you and shall reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheath before Yahweh for your acceptance. On the morrow, after the Sabbath,
right,
the priest waves it. You got Passover, boom. You got a Shabbat, a high Shabbat, boom. Then you have wave sheath, boom. One, yeah. two, three.
Yeah, right. That's the way it is ordered, prescribed, commanded. You picked the word, okay? Now, the vast majority of modern Sabbath keepers, feast day keepers, do not observe it this way. They have fluctuating calendars. For example, I'm just going to, I know the lunar calendar
people.
The
Jews have it all fouled up.
Yes.
That is a mess.
Right. Well, for the Jews, Passover and the High Sabbath can often occur on the same day.
Yeah.
Because
they use a rabbinical calendar.
Yes, yeah. Actually, I have to read part of this because this is really comical. This is comical, folks. This is from the Wikipedia article on Eve of Passover on Sabbath, on the days for the Jews. But this cannot happen biblically because we just read you the ordinances that prescribe the days, and it's always Passover, Shabbat, Wave Sheaf, always. Consecutive days, 14th, 15th, 16th. But now, but for the Jews, when the eve of Passover falls on a Shabbat, it can't. We just told you why it can't. But for the Jews, it does. The fast of the firstborn customarily takes place on the preceding Thursday instead of the day before, which is Friday. This is because it is forbidden to fast on Shabbat except when it coincides with Yom Kippur. Are you getting the except and the ridiculous rules?
Fast and loose with everything. They right. don't follow Scripture. Yes. They follow the Talmud.
Yes. And then
wake up.
It is preferable not to fast on Friday. What is all this? Where does this come from? It doesn't come from the Bible, folks. No, now, listen to the
Babylon and the rabbinical pronouncements.
Yeah, and all these rabbis disagree with each other. Listen. However, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein wrote that based on the Rima, a Jew who breaks the Thursday fast might be required to fast on Friday also. Friday, Joseph ben Meir Tomim said a similar thing in Piri Magdim. On the other hand, since there are opinions that dispute the Rima, names a bunch of rabbis, Rabbi Feinstein also writes that practically speaking, one should not fast on Friday under such circumstances. This is total gobbledygook, folks. Total Jewish rabbinical gobbledygook. And I can't even pronounce it right.
Gobbledygook.
Right. Okay. And here's the commentary. When the coincidence of the eve of Passover and Shabbat can occur as often as three times in a decade. Why? Because they practice a lunar/solar calendar, which gets it, and they have to invent a 13th month, which the Bible says absolutely nothing about a 13th month. Okay? It is also possible for as many as 20 years to pass between two instances. During the 20th century, the eve of Passover fell on Shabbat 11 times, and it names the years. In the 21st century, it occurs three times so far. Okay, so, in other words, this is proof, folks, that the Jews are not observing the ordinances we just read from Exodus and Leviticus.
Well, they're not Yahweh's people. They're putting in their satanic viewpoints. They don't worship Yahweh.
That's right.
They worship Halel or whatever. David James says it's Halel.
Yeah, themselves.
And I tend to agree with him
mm-hmm.
quite a bit.
They worship themselves.
And Baphomet and all the other stuff.
Right. Lucifer. Give them whatever name you want.
Whatever name or title, they've changed it all the time.
Okay.
There's so much confusion, and it is orchestrated.
That's right. Orchestrated
it's
confusion.
Planned. It's orchestrated, and that's what we're seeing. They have planned to lead our people astray. They have deceived the chosen ones, the very chosen ones, the elect. We did a dissertation on elect or chosen ones. I did that.
Yes.
And they make it so complicated by changing horses in midstream that our people don't know which way to go. Well, CI people do.
Right.
But we have even have discrepancies with calendars, and I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah, we're not condemning anybody.
But the biblical order of things
right.
is a 1, 2, 3 observance.
Yeah. Right. And so, but the point
no
we're making.
What calendar you use, right. whatever day you set.
Right.
1, 2, 3.
Right.
Passover, Shabbat, wave sheath.
Yeah.
The and first if, fruit.
Right. Yeah. And these are irrefutable verses. And if the calendar your group practices, and I'm not condemning any other group because I know this is a complicated subject, and it's taken me literally 20 years of research on this, you know, to come up with these simple things. And one of the verse we glossed over, when it said, when the Israelites come into the land of promise, which wasn't to happen yet for another 40 years, that's when all of these ordinances
well,
come.
Well, it was actually more than 40 years because
okay.
they were out in the wilderness and they refused when they finally got to
mm-hmm.
the Jordan River to go over it. They said, no, no, the Anakims are there. They'll
all
kill
right.
us.
right.
But only Caleb and Yahshua
Uh-huh.
were righteous,
Joshua.
And they turned away from the Jordan River and didn't cross it, and he led them all through the wilderness until that generation died.
Right, right, that wicked and cowardly generation.
And that's why yes. the book of Deuteronomy, that's not the second law, that's a recounting of the law to the new generation of Israelites that had not seen the miracles. They were children born on the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the law did not really go, these feast day laws did not go into effect until they crossed the Jordan River, conquered Jericho, and began conquering
the
Canaanites.
What's
the
first thing that happened when they crossed the Jordan River with Yahshua as a leader? Mm-hmm. What was the first thing that Yahshua did?
They conquered Jericho.
No.
No? Okay.
No. He circumcised all the males.
Oh, okay. Right.
Skins.
Yes.
They
okay.
hadn't been circumcised when they were wandering.
Uh-huh. And so,
the second mass circumcision of all the Israelites that were not circumcised on the Hill of the Foreskins. Look it up, people.
Okay. Very
Look
interesting.
Look it up.
Very interesting. But the law, the feast day calendar, was not practiced out in the wilderness, except you could say that the Sabbath, Yahweh kept the Sabbath of manna, okay, to teach the Israelites
yep.
that they're keeping.
He showed them that on
right.
the seventh. On seventh day, they gather nothing. They gather double portion
right.
on the sixth day.
Right, right. But the feast day calendar did not go into effect until they started securing the land of promise. You know, the
That's correct.
Land,
when
okay.
they crossed the Jordan right. River, and they ate the feast, the fruits of the land
okay.
that the Canaanites they drove out had planted. They took their crops, and when as soon as they did that, the man stopped.
Right.
It's not manna; it's
oh.
man.
Okay.
Not man. It's an aw sound with the a as an aw. Man.
Okay,
not
very
man.
Good.
There's two different sounds to an A.
So if the calendar you're practicing does not conform to these three commands of Abib 14, Abib 15, Abib 16, then there's something wrong with your calendar, and you need to take note of it, okay? So, you know, we're not going to tell everybody, we're not going to condemn anybody for practicing a different calendar because, you know, you have to prove it to yourself.
It's not about the calendar. It's about obeying Yahweh's commandments.
Right. And
however you decide it, it's the intent that you are deciding on. We're not going to nitpick, and we're not
right.
going to shove our solar calendar down anybody's throat.
Right. And here
you can research it. You can read about it. You can make a decision on your own. You're grown-up people.
Yes. And so we might as well talk about Pentecost as well, because from these three dates, from the morrow after the Sabbath and from the Sabbath, we're given two separate counts to Pentecost, okay? And so Leviticus, you want to continue Leviticus 23, 15 and 16?
All right. 23, 15.
Since it's right in the
15.
Same chapter. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've got 23, 5, 6, and 7, and okay. 23, 9.
Okay, well, just go ahead and read.
23, 5, 5, 6, and 7. I didn't read verse 7. I read 5 and 6. 7 says, on the first day you have a set-apart gathering, and you do no servile work. Mm-hmm. That's that. That's a high Sabbath.
That's the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Right. That's,
okay.
Verse 9. Well, actually, it's 10.
Okay.
Speak to the children of Israel, and you shall say, when you come into the land which I give you,
right.
and you when shall you... reap its harvest.
Right.
Okay. Then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. Now that is the day of first fruits.
Mm-hmm.
And he shall wave the sheaf before Yahweh for your acceptance. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest waves
right.
it.
Okay.
That's first fruits. That's Shavuot. Okay.
Now, in this fulfillment of all three holy days by Yahshua, he was our Passover. Then he was in the he was resting in the underworld on the Sabbath day, and then he was resurrected. That's the whole point of the wave sheaf.
Now we go to verse 15 and 16.
Okay.
And from the morrow after the Sabbath. It's
okay.
the day after the Sabbath okay. when you begin your count.
Yes.
From the from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, you shall count for yourself 7 completed Shabbats.
Right.
That 7 times 7 is 49 days.
Yes.
Until the morrow after the 7th Shabbat, after 49 days,
mm-hmm.
you count 50 days. That makes that
right.
one day. Then you shall bring a new grain offering to Yahweh.
Okay. And so
that is first fruits.
So, and all these holy days were fulfilled in that year, in the year of crucifixion. Pentecost occurred right after that, 50 days after. And we have two counts. We have 50 days from the Sabbath and 49 days from the wave sheaf. That's Pentecost. All right,
all
so
right,
these...
Then, and on this same day, this is verse 21, you shall proclaim a set-apart gathering for yourselves, and you do no servile work on it,
mm-hmm.
a law forever in all your dwellings, I have to turn a page, throughout your generations. That's a commandment. That's
right.
not a suggestion.
right.
That's a commandment.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you read these scriptures very carefully, it says we got Passover on the 14th, the High Sabbath on the 15th, Wave Sheaf on the 16th, and then 49 days after Wave Sheaf, or 50 days from the preceding Sabbath,
okay.
is Pentecost.
They're, okay.
It's as clear as day.
That's
how can you get this wrong? Okay.
And here's the seventh month, verse 24.
Okay.
Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you have a rest, a remembrance of blowing of trumpets. Those are shofars, not metal trumpets, ram's horns.
Ram's horns.
A set apart gathering. You do no servile work. And you shall bring an offering made by fire to Yahweh. Well, that is
mm-hmm.
blood sacrifice. That's
yeah.
been fulfilled.
Right.
Yeah, but we'll still blow the trumpets. And I do that, and I open up the window, and I just let fly.
Right.
And drive the whole drive, because right. I'm blowing about once an hour.
Yeah.
I'm blasting out with a shofar. Oh, it's a crazy Hebrew up there.
Yeah, right. At least they're not calling you a Jew.
Well, they know. I made it very clear. Well, you're Jewish. I said, no, I'm an Israelite. There's a difference.
That's right.
I'm of pure bloodline.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, well, oh.
Okay. Oh, does that mean anything?
Yeah, right.
Okay, well, since you're going through all the feasts from Leviticus 23, go ahead and do the rest of them.
Oh.
Okay, because Leviticus 23 is the guideline. It tells us
right.
exactly.
Here's verse 27, or 26. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, now this is a commandment. On the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. That is the day of the covering over. It mm-hmm. shall be a set-apart gathering for you, and you shall afflict your beings. That means fast.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 28, and you do no work on that same day. It is the day of covering over, if you actually read the Hebrew,
mm-hmm.
to make propitiation for you before Yahweh, your
right.
Elohim.
Right, right.
All right. For any being who is not afflicted on that same day, he shall be cut off from his people.
Okay, so you better fast.
And any being who does any work on that same mm-hmm. day, that being I shall destroy from the midst of his people. That's
so you
when
have
he
to prepare for this.
There.
You have to be very well
you
prepared.
You shall do no work. A law forever throughout your generations is in all your dwellings. It is a Shabbat of rest to you.
Okay.
And you shall afflict your beings.
Mm-hmm.
On the 9th day of the month at evening, from evening to evening, you shall observe your Sabbath. Not from noon to noon.
Right, from evening
to evening.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
All right.
Now, the Day of Atonement has changed with the willing laying down of his life of Yeshua Messiah. They were sacrificing animals once
right.
a year on that day to make propitiation for Israel.
Uh-huh.
The perfect sacrifice has
okay.
been made, and we celebrate, we still fast. But we do it in honor of Yeshua and his willing laying down of his life
yes.
to cover over our sins.
Yes, so that the form of the form of the feast days has changed, but not the meaning and significance or the fact
no,
that we must keep
it
them.
It is a high holy day because that celebrates. And you don't have a miserable attitude because you're fasting. You fast
right.
in joy,
yes.
celebrating and honoring the sacrifice, the final sacrifice.
Right. And the cleansing of your soul. You should be joyful about that.
That absolutely. It's got to be a joyful thing.
Yes.
Here okay. we go, verse 34. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of this 7th month is the festival of booths for 7 days to Yahweh. Now that's Feast of Tabernacles.
Yes.
Because it's Sukkot, it's Chag Sukkot, which means festival of booths. Because a Sukkot is a brush shelter.
Yes.
A temporary shelter that you lived in when they were traveling through
mm-hmm.
the wilderness.
Yeah.
Well, we use tents because it's temporary.
Right. Right.
So, verse 35, on the first day is a set-apart gathering. You do no servile work.
Now, this is another high Sabbath because
that's correct.
It's both a regular Sabbath and the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles.
All right, for 7 days you bring an offering made by fire to Yahweh. No temple anymore, not possible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Temple is within us. On the eighth day there shall be a set apart gathering for you.
Right.
Another high Sabbath.
Okay. Now we still
and
have.
You don't bring an offering made by fire no longer. It is a closing festival. You do no serval work.
Right. Okay. And so you're not to work on any Sabbath. Okay.
Correct.
All right. Okay. So according to our feast day calendar here, Feast of Tabernacles begins on the evening of Monday, October 2nd. On the evening of Monday, October 2nd, okay? From evening to evening. So the daytime of Tuesday to 3rd is the completion of that Sabbath, okay? We are commanded to live in booths. So you have to make some arrangement to either set up a tent in your backyard or I don't know if your garage will work, okay? That might be stretching it, but it is, if you can, make a gathering of Israelites on Feast of Tabernacles, that would be the most preferable.
All right. Now, okay. If you want to observe the letter of the law,
okay,
you put your tent or your sukkoth in the backyard.
Right.
You eat in it.
Uh-huh.
You can cook outside of it, but you eat in it.
Right.
And you have sleeping facilities in it, and you sleep out there for 7 days.
Right. Okay, now what's the purpose of this, Pastor Steve? Why are we still keeping this today?
As a memorial.
Right.
For the time that Yahweh brought us out of Mitzrayim.
Right.
And Mass.
Right.
And that's what it's for.
Okay.
We are observing that. And the same thing where he gave the order about the tzitzit on a four-cornered garment. Now, I modify T-shirts, and then I have the T-sheet with the thread of blue on the four-corner garment I make out of a white T-shirt.
Yes. Now, we're going to get into
it underneath my clothing, but the T-sheets hang out.
Okay. All right. Now, we're going to
have a thread of blue.
We're going to get into the reasons why the ritual sacrifices have been done away with and are no longer a part, because that was added to the law because of Israel's disobedience. It was added for disciplinary purposes, okay? But it was never intended to last forever, and that part of the law ended at Calvary.
Yes,
and
it
Paul
did.
Clearly says
yes,
so. We're going to get
the
into
the blood of bulls and goats were only a yearly putting off or covering over of the sins for 1 year.
But also,
it wasn't working, so Yeshua.
Right. Well, it was never intended to last. It was never intended to last.
That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Also, the reason, one of the other reasons, first of all, it's a memorial. It's a commanded. It's a commanded memorial. Okay. In addition, we're looking forward to the day of judgment, the year of tribulation, or the years of tribulation, however long it takes.
When we're there now.
Yeah, so you might as well get used to camping out, all right?
And it's not going to be a week camping.
No,
it's
not
going to
be a
year,
week.
So.
Right? It may be years. So get used to camping. Get your body ready to camp out for a couple of years at least.
I'm going to publish a go list of what you're going to need.
Yes. This is a very practical exercise.
I will do a presentation at the Feast of Tabernacles here in Kentucky this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to publish and have hard copy prints to give to everybody that attends.
Yes.
And then I'm going to put it on my website.
Yes.
For all to read, and you can download it and print it out yourself.
Yes. And we may have
to Kentucky.
We may have to change our venue after this year, because we're getting more people wanting to attend. And if we do it at a national park, they have limited facilities. We need to have a private facility where we can bring stragglers, people who just decided, I want to come, right? But if we only have so much room because they have to have reservations at a national park, right? So it may be preferable after this year to host it at a private location where we can accommodate more people, okay? But in any case, this is the reason, one of the reasons why we keep this feast, because these fall feasts have not yet been fulfilled. They will be fulfilled at the second advent, people.
That's when Yahshua is going to come back.
That's when he's coming
back. Tabernacles, because it said he pitched his tent among us. Amen and amen.
Amen. All right. And he's going to do it for real. He's going to be here, folks. Okay? Any Judeo Christians listening, we in Identity take all this stuff very seriously and very literally. And this is not just an exercise in blowhardism, which you get from your Judeo Christian pastors.
Well, you either believe in Yahweh and obey him or you don't.
That's
right. You got to choose. You can't sit on the fence. It's not going
to
work.
That's right. Okay, now to verify all of this, in the ritual sacrifices were done away with, we're going to switch to Hebrews chapter 9, and beginning with verse 23, I'm going to read it from my Cambridge Bible, which I'm beginning to really like. It's very much different from the King James, but go ahead if you think there's a flaw in the translation, just follow
Hebrews 9.
Yeah, Hebrews 9 to 20, verse 23, all the way through to 10:18. Okay, I'm going to start reading here. Speaking of the ritual sacrifices, Paul is addressing us here. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Okay, so Christ is a better sacrifice. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. All right, he didn't enter, you know, that actually the curtain was rent in two, and he did not enter the Holy of Holies because it was already taken out. The
Ark?
The Ark. The Ark was already removed. And because the Jews had control of the temple in those days, there's no way he would enter a temple that was controlled by Jews. But what he's saying is he's entering into our hearts, as predicted in Jeremiah chapter 23. Okay? So he said, for Christ is not entered into holy places. He's not entering into a physical temple, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as
That's
the Levitical
right.
priests did, okay? Not every year at Passover.
That's right.
As the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. Okay? He's telling us there
that was the Day of Atonement.
Yeah. Okay? So every one of these observances are to be kept as memorials until the judgment day, when we have a new heavens and a new earth, and all this stuff will be old. But we haven't gotten there yet. Okay? He's telling us that Christ offered himself only once. That puts an end to the ritual.
That's all that was necessary.
Right.
As Yahweh in the flesh, he's not going to make any mistakes, and he doesn't have to do it over again.
Right. Yes. But and he continues, but now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Once. Not many times. Okay?
That's right.
Because he was the fulfillment of the ritual sacrifices. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Does it say everybody there, Pastor Steve?
No.
Does it say all?
No.
Who are the many? In your opinion,
many Israelites,
right? What? Which Israelites?
I come not but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they avoid that like the plague in the Judeo-Christian churches.
It does not say everybody. It does not say the whole world. It does not say all races. It says many. And the people being addressed here are Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So only many Israelites, not even all Israelites. Getting to your point that you made earlier that being white is not enough.
That's right.
Right? It's not enough to be white.
That's right.
You have to be a law-abiding Israelite to enter the kingdom on these terms.
A true believer. And if you are a true believer, you will naturally wish to be obedient.
Amen.
Obedient through true faith, not lip service.
Right, so who are the many? They are Israelites who recognize the sacrifice that Christ made for you. You will have repented of your sins and acted accordingly, and you will show yourself cleansed from all of these sins when he comes the second time, when the full cleansing will take on the last day of atonement.
Show fruits worthy of repentance.
Amen. Fruits worthy of repentance. It says many. It does not say everybody. It doesn't say the whole world. Read your Bible, Judeo-Christian. And unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. All right, so be ready. He's telling us, be ready. Chapter 10.
And it'll probably occur during a Feast of Tabernacles.
That's exactly right, in the fall.
Could be this year. Could be the following year.
Mm-hmm. But the point is, get yourself ready. Get your body ready. Get your mind ready.
Stay ready. It's not a hobby. It's a way of life.
Right, exactly. So this is why this is very important in these end days to conform to these feast days, because they are given to us as preparatory ritual, but preparatory, what's the best word here? Ritual is not a good word, but
observance,
way of life to get prepare. Preparation is the best word to prepare yourself for what's coming, because it's not going to be pretty. And you probably will not have a house to dwell in.
You're not going to have a warning.
No, right. It's going
to hit
like a thief in the night.
It's all going to collapse at once. We're going to have total anarchy. We see the beginning of anarchy now. And it's being staged.
Oh, my God.
By the Jews.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And they've got these guys suckered in to going out and exchanging profanities with these vile creatures.
Right, even more
which
vile.
Which puts them on a level with the vile creatures. Mm-hmm. Christian people don't go out and scream profanities.
Right. Yeah, we can't be doing on their level.
We don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come. All right, he's talking about the ritual sacrifices, and he could be talking about the whole law, because the whole obeying the law is what gets us into the kingdom. But, because Yahshua is not going to accept filthy garments.
Filthy rags. Then they argue, you're not going to get into the kingdom by works. Yahshua said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
That's right.
Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How can you repent? Repentance requires action. People
Amen.
Don't know what repentance means. We've gone over this over and over and over.
Yeah.
You have to do after you repent.
Yes.
Or it's not repentance. If you continue on in your sin, it is not repentance. Saying you're sorry and then living a lascivious life does not get it done.
Yes. Let me start verse 1 and read it all the way through. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices, which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Okay? A couple of things here. He's saying that the ritual sacrifices were temporary and could not accomplish the perfection of the Israelites. Number one, they weren't intended to do that. And number two, the Israelites couldn't do that because they were too carnal in their minds. And the rituals had become something to do out of habit, and they were done in the wrong spirit. Okay? And in other words, what I'm trying to say is, once you know that you could sacrifice a chicken to cover your sins of the previous year, well, what's the point of, not sinning? You know that you can just sacrifice a chicken and you're good. You're good for another year. All right? Paul is telling us that's over with. You can't do that anymore.
Kol Nidre.
Right.
All vows that the Jews say, anything that I swore last year is null and void, and anything that I will swear this year is null and void.
Right.
In other words, it's a vow of deception by the Jews.
That's right.
That's their mindset. That's their mode of operation.
Yeah.
They are liars because their father is the father of lies.
Right. They repent beforehand and still intending to keep their sins, to do the sins,
yeah.
Right?
So it's all fake.
It's totally fake, right? Verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered because of that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins? Well, it's stated in the form of a question here. They were indeed ceased to be offered, as in Daniel, I believe it was 9:26, we discussed it last week. The sacrifices and oblations shall cease.
Yep.
Okay. Now, Paul was in the position of trying to explain to ritual sacrifice-keeping Judahites, because Edomites wouldn't care what he had to say. So he was addressing these verses to ritual sacrifice-keeping Judahites to explain to them, hey, the Messiah had come, he had fulfilled the ritual pattern of sacrifice-keeping, he is the last sacrifice. We don't have to do this anymore because he has come.
Well, the Jews are trying to set up another altar over there to start the sacrifices up again.
That's right. That's right. I mean, what more proof do you need that the Jews are nothing but rebellious Satanists, right? They reject the word of Yahweh totally, both testaments. Okay? And then he says in verse 3, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Okay? You have to make yourself a new sacrifice. In other words, you have to sacrifice your sin nature from this moment forward, because you don't have the blood of bulls and goats to cover your sins
right.
anymore.
They were not to take away sin. They were to cover over
there
sin
you go. Yeah.
for a year.
Yes.
That's why it's Yom Kippur, the day of covering over.
Right. Yes. Verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. He's quoting Isaiah here. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. You had a comment here.
And he's also, verses 5 and 6, refer to Psalms 40,
okay,
verses 6 and 7.
Okay. Yeah, so Paul, any New Testament Christian, so-called, listening, why is Paul so constantly referring back to the Old Testament in his sermons? Paul is not a New Testament Christian, and Paul did not change anything. He's just explaining that the ritual sacrifices have been done away with and are no longer available to us for the remission of sins. Okay? Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin, thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure in them which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that is the ritual sacrifices, that he may establish the second, that is us being the temple of God.
That's right.
Okay. And as long as we use the ritual sacrifices to cover our sins, well, we're still inclined to be sinners. That's what was going on in ancient Israel. It wasn't working, and it wasn't intended to work, because Yahshua is our Passover.
The final Passover lamb, the perfect one.
Yes. Verse 10, by the which we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. All right? It's over with. No more ritual sacrifices.
That's correct.
And then he goes on to quote Jeremiah chapter 31. I'll start with verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. They covered them sins, as you properly
That's
said.
That's correct. Okay. Temporary covering.
Didn't take them away. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, how many times does he say once? One time That's only. Right. What does the Catholic Church say? We are sacrificing his body and blood yet again in their ritual sacrifice called the Mass. It's their Mass. They claim they're really sacrificing his body and his blood. This is Paul doesn't agree with this. He doesn't agree with this in any way.
No.
Okay. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, which is going to happen really soon, folks. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, who are the sanctified?
The set apart, called out ones, the ecclesia.
Amen. Not everybody. And we're still only talking
That's
about
right.
Israelites. And
That's
you've got to be an Israelite who accepts his sacrifice and takes all this to heart.
You can't worship Keck.
No. All right. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them, that is the people of Israel, after those days, saith Yahweh, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. This Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 37, who Paul is directly quoting here. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Okay,
That's right.
It's over.
That's it. It's done. It's completed. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. It is finished. It's
right.
Completed.
Right. And let me just jump to 26, where he emphasizes the point, for if we sin willfully, which means this is after Calvary, folks, many years after Calvary, he's saying,
right.
if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of this truth, there remaineth no more sacrifices for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. So if you continue to sin,
well, that's willfully.
Yes, willfully.
But if
yes.
you make a mistake and you're out and you're eating a meal, and unbeknownst to you, there's pork in it. Remember when you came right. down? And we went to a Pizza Hut, and there was all that nice pudding.
Right.
And Leroy reminded
Pork
us,
pudding.
Hey, you know what they make that pudding with?
Out of, right?
Glycerin.
Oh.
And okay. we just scraped it off our plates and
right.
got a fresh plate. And
right.
Not, well, oops.
Yeah. Oh, there's
and I
a lot
loved
of stuff.
That Hormel chili until I read the doggone label, which shows it had pork in it. Yeah. And I, oh man, I've been eating this for years.
Well, it didn't used
and
to
I
have
haven't,
pork.
I haven't bought, and now I'm making all my own homemade chili. I don't buy it anymore. Yeah. And I looked in a lot of the soups. They've got pork in them.
Yeah, they've been adding pork. It used to be pure beef, but not anymore. It
used to be pure beef.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can't buy Jell-O. That's made with glycerin. And I mean, there's just on and on and on and on and on. They're slipping that pork in on us.
Yes.
So,
okay, so according to Yahshua, he talked about the 3 days, and the story of Jonah being in the belly of the beast, of the whale, for 3 days and three nights, is a recounting of these 3 days of Passover, Sabbath, and wave sheaf.
Yep.
He lived it out himself.
It says he was in the inner parts of the earth.
Right.
Well, where is that? Do we know? I don't know.
Right? Detroit. Okay. Can't get much lower than Detroit.
That's so, the end of the sewer pipe where all the crap comes out.
That's right.
Just,
So he fulfilled all of this literally to the letter, folks. He had to fulfill it literally and to the letter. Otherwise, it was invalid. And Paul is telling us that these ritual sacrifices are ended and over with. Now we have to make of ourselves.
Brother Herbert writes, putting the fear of Yahweh in us. Oh, that's a demerit. That's bad.
Two D's, not two T's.
Putting. Oh.
10 demerits. 10 demerits for that, Brother Hebert.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
He's punishing us again.
Yeah. There's a special place in heaven, not hell, for punsters. Okay. So, and this just goes to show that Yahshua was obedient to the letter, and that these ritual sacrifices performed by the Levitical priesthood, they had followed very, very precise instructions, which they did not deviate from for 1,500 years.
Yep, and 15. With that final sacrifice, he eliminated the need for the Levitical sacrificial priests. First of all, the Aharonic line had been murdered by the Edomites. And he took the priesthood away from them and put it under the order of Melchizedek, the king of righteousness.
Right.
And he is the high priest of Melchizedek,
right,
being the king of righteousness.
Amen.
So the Levitical priesthood is no longer needed.
Right. And the fact is, the Levitical priesthood disappeared, did it not?
But, yeah, it did.
But the Jews... have attempted to take their place.
Well, the name Cohen, wherever you hear the name Cohen, that means priest.
Okay, yeah.
And actually it's spelled K-O-H-E-N, but they spell it many different ways, and they claim to be Levites.
Yes, yeah, they claim to be.
So, well, they claim a lot of things.
Yeah. Okay, and it's worth going on here in Hebrews chapter 10. This is really, I recommend everybody read Hebrew, and we started in chapter 9, verse 23. I recommend everybody read Hebrews chapter 10, because Paul really lays it out here. We have to prepare ourselves. He's talking about being prepared for the second coming, okay? Verse 32, but call to remembrance the former days. We are remembering our heritage. We are Israelites. We are supposed to understand who we are, where we came from. Isaiah tells us, I believe in chapter 31, hearken unto Abraham, our father, and Sarah, our mother. We are not to forget our heritage. Okay? Partly He endured a great fight of afflictions, and we're still enduring this today, partly whilst he were made a gazing stock both by the reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst he became companions of them that were so used. Do not be companions of the Judeo-Christians anymore. They will only lead you astray. They're not following.
Come out from among them, my brethren, and be ye separate.
Yes. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. In other words, be kind and generous while you're on this plane, because you will be rewarded accordingly in the kingdom. Okay? Brotherly love, he's admonishing us to, he's thanking them because they sustained him while he was living among them, okay? He had no food, he had no money, he had nothing, okay? So it was brotherly love that kept him alive. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward.
He was very, very different. He was blessed, and when he spoke, he had the voice of a authority.
That's right.
And that's why people gathered to him.
Yes. Yes.
Not massive amounts.
Okay.
Same way today. It's a few. Remnant means a small part of the whole.
Yeah. And a reward is something you get for your efforts. Okay.
Well,
the redemption at Calvary was given freely without any effort.
I'm getting earthly rewards here because everything I've got is in the service.
Yes, exactly.
And he has blessed me.
You're working for the kingdom. Okay. Let me put it this
way. Things needed for the work.
I don't use
them for frivolous things.
Right, right. You're either working for the kingdom or you aren't. That's the bottom line. It's one or the other. You can't be sitting on the fence. You know, you can't be saying to yourself, oh, well, maybe none of this will happen. Maybe there won't be a tribulation, you know.
It doesn't matter whether you think so or not. You're smack in the beginning of it right now.
That's right.
Pastor Dan has to say. You know.
Right. Oh,
and,
yeah.
You hear the news every week on David James' shows.
And in Charlottesville.
I mean, that's right in your face.
Charlottesville is just another example. This race war is
well, not
here,
just
folks.
That. Dave covers all the stuff that's going on, all these little brush fires all around the country, and he tells about the crime statistics, which the mainstream media won't cover.
Right.
We've got guys on the EFR that are covering every facet of what's going on. There's different flavors with each show,
right?
And you need to listen to all of them, because you can't expect one guy to give you all the information every week. It's not physically possible. We only have so much time as individuals.
Too much grist and not enough mill, right?
This is
so much going on.
We can.
It's happening so fast.
You got Saxon's Creech coming up. You got Voice of Christian Israel.
Right. We got Pastor Dan's show.
We've got Repeat of Yahweh's Covenant People. Then you got By Yahweh's Design coming up after that.
Yeah. This is fellowship. This is fellowship, folks, and
we got a special show today at 3:30 Eastern. Salute to Ernst Zundel.
Okay, very good.
And that's coming up, and it's, I mean, on and on and on and on. I mean, we've got the smorgasbord for you here to enjoy
smorgasbord.
And dine on all this information,
but no pork.
No pork fried rice.
Right.
I can't do it like Dave James.
It's close. That's close.
He's got it done. Pork
fried rice. So let me repeat this last verse, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence. You shouldn't have any doubt that these things are going to happen. It was all spelled out for us. The fall feast days have been spelled out for us. Yahshua fulfilled the spring feast days to the letter. And we need to talk a little bit more about Pentecost before we sign off today. But we're here to get you ready, to get your mind, body, and spirit ready for the days of tribulation and the second coming, because it will happen. It was promised, and it will happen. Have no doubt.
Well, that's the Pentecost is the first fruits, okay?
Yeah.
And they were all assembled for first fruits.
Okay. Yes, absolutely.
And the Holy Spirit rushed on all those people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hold off on that. Let me just finish chapter 10 here, and then we'll go into Acts, where the actual Pentecost happened. If okay. Paul continues in verse 36, "For ye have need of patience," we sure do, "that after ye have done the will of God," okay,
done
the will
actually
of God.
Actually, have to do something. Oh no!
Oh, you mean we have to perform works? Okay, they're just the Judeos are just totally confused about works. They have no idea. There's a difference between the works of your own works and the works you do for Yahweh, and you have to do the will of God, and that's the works of they confuse the works of sacrifice with works in general. That's the problem, and they just got that whole those two concepts confused, where they're separate ideas in Scripture. Okay, we are supposed to do good works, and Paul tells us right here, "After ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise," might receive the promise, and it was only promised to Israel, "for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry." All right, you got my word on it, he's telling us. "Now the just shall live by faith." Who are the just, Pastor Steve?
Those that keep the commandments.
Yes, there you go. "But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." So don't lose confidence. Don't lose faith. I know a lot of people will. When the shinola hits the fan, they're going to cower in the corner. "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." So have this confidence, Paul is telling us.
That's right.
All right.
Trust in Yahweh.
Amen.
That's what it tells you all through the Scriptures.
Keep his commandments
and trust in him, and you will be hedged about by his protection. And if you do not glorify him, you don't glorify the Creator, but glorify the creation, you will not have his protection.
Right. Okay. Since we only have about nine or 10 minutes left, we'll go into Acts, but we'll start with chapter 1 because we need to set the context for the Feast of Pentecost, which it gets to, I believe, in chapter 2.
Yes.
Okay. So why don't you go ahead and read Acts 1, starting from verse 1, from your translation.
All right. This is the Scriptures by the Institute for Scriptures Research. "The first account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Yeshua began both to do and to teach, until the day when he was taken up, after giving instructions through the set-apart Spirit to the emissaries whom he had chosen."
He had chosen, right? Okay, so he was taken up. This is the resurrection. This is the wave sheaf.
Right.
Okay.
Verse 3. "To whom he also presented himself alive,"
mm-hmm,
"after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them for 40 days, speaking concerning the reign of Elohim,"
kingdom
theology.
The kingdom of God, yes.
That's right.
The kingdom of God, kingdom theology.
"And meeting with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me, because Yochanan," that's John the Baptist, truly immersed in water, but you shall be immersed in the set apart spirit not many days from now.
Okay. So for 40 days, now the count from a wave sheaf to Pentecost is 49 days. Okay. Mm-hmm. So in that interim, Yahshua remained on this plane, but in his glorified body, conversing with the Israelites. Okay.
That's right.
Now, what is the most interesting question they ask in verse 6?
All right. Verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked of him, saying, Master, would you at this time restore the reign to Israel?
To who?
To Israel.
Okay.
Doesn't say to Jews.
No.
Oy.
It doesn't say to the Goyim or to the world or to all nations.
To Israel.
Amen.
And verse 7. And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the set-apart Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Yehuda and Shomeron and to the end of the earth.
Okay, and there's a passage that both in Old, and Paul quotes this passage too, to the effect that the whole world will understand that we are Israel and will acknowledge this. Okay, that day is coming too, folks. And those who do not acknowledge us, those who still acknowledge the Jews instead of true Israel, are going to be counted as tares. That means all Judeo-Christians, you had better start waking up and stop believing the Jews are Israel and stop believing their lies, their Holocaust lies and everything else. We proved to you today that they do not keep the proper feast days. Everything they do is a lie. So stop following them. Stop believing that they're God's chosen people. It's a lie. Sorry, yep. Back to you.
Well, we ought to switch over and start in chapter 2 here.
Okay.
At this time, we've set the premise right there.
Okay.
Verse 1, and when the day of the festival of weeks, that's first fruits, had come, they were all with one mind in one place.
Okay.
And suddenly there came a sound from the heaven as of a rushing mighty wind.
A big shofar.
And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and settled on each one of them. And they were all filled with the set apart spirit and began to speak with other tongues. These were not gobbledygook. They were actual languages as the Spirit gave them to speak. In Jerusalem, there were dwelling Yahudim, dedicated men from every nation under the heaven. What? Dispersion, gathered.
Right.
What's going on now? Yahudim, those who praise Yah. And when very this good. Sound came to be, the crowd came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language.
Okay. All right. Let's stop right there. They weren't speaking gobbledygook that couldn't be understood. Everybody understood in their own language. So what they were saying was understood perfectly.
Absolutely.
That's not what they do in these so-called speaking in tongues churches today. Oh, Pastor Steve, I understood perfectly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Here again, can't these people read? It says they understood. And if you're not understanding what a modern tongue speaker says, then it's not the right thing. It's in the wrong spirit. Okay? That should be obvious.
All right, there's a comment by Brother Hebert, and I'm just going to read the last sentence. 50 days, Moshe received the commandments 50 days after the exit of Egypt.
Okay. All right.
He makes a comment about all the 50 days occurrences.
Right. Right. Okay.
So here we are.
And that's Pentecost. That's what Pentecost means. It means 50 days. Okay.
That's right.
Right. So, yeah, so they're actually celebrating the giving of the law at Pentecost, whether they realize it or not. Okay. All right. Thank you, Brother Eber. Yeah. All right. So what we see here is Israelites gathered, and they were all Israelites. That's the context. They're not, although they came from the various nations, the known world is what this means.
Right.
But the Israelites had been scattered to all these places by this time. Okay. This is a regathering of Israelites. Only Israelites would have any understanding what Peter is talking about here. And only Israelites would have the incentive to travel to Jerusalem for this feast. And they would all have been forbidden. They would have understood the law that they are not to invite non-Israelites.
Yep. Who was gathered here? Only Israelites. Yeah, but they were from different nations. They were Galileans, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Aram Naharaim, both Yehuda and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Mitzrayim, that's Egypt, and the parts of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Yehudim and converts, Cretans and Arabs. They were living in these lands. These are all national
terms,
designations,
right,
but not racial designations.
Exactly.
They were all Israelites. Well, I'm an Israelite, and I'm living in the United States.
Right.
We've got Israelites in South Africa, Germany,
right,
Sweden, England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales,
right,
France, Austria.
Okay.
All over. We're everywhere.
All right. So we have just about a minute left. So we discussed how Yahshua fulfilled the first three feast days and that he fulfilled them in their totality. And they're the spring feasts. Pentecost is in the middle. And so we'll talk and we talked a bit about how we're supposed to celebrate the first three feasts. Obviously, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we have to cleanse the leaven from our homes. We're not required to leave our homes or anything like that. Pentecost, we're required to assemble together. We can do this online if we can't travel, okay? But here again, if we can fellowship in person, that is preferable, okay? So although it's not commanded, but this, to the best of our ability, we try to duplicate these feast days. Okay.
There you go.
And you can have
We're out of time here, Eli.
Yeah.
It's time to play the bumper music.
Right.
And it's been a pleasure speaking to all of you today. Shalom aleichem.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. See you next time.